Well, good morning. Welcome to New Hope. And this morning we're going to continue our series of the story. I'm going to look at a very broad section of scripture from Adam and Eve on up to Noah. And you know, when Jennifer asked me for a title, I said, I'm not a very creative person sometimes, but I managed to figure out, you know, these are all just stories of God's mercy and grace. Over and over through this section of scriptures, we see how God provided when his people did not deserve it. The last couple weeks, we dug into the details of creation, at the end of God's creation, he looks back on everything he has made. He says, "This is very good," and he rested. And that was about the end of creation being good, right? When God stepped back and relinquished control to the people, that's when the problem started. It gets kind of bad from there. Genesis chapter 2 ends. There's a direct declaration that Adam and Eve were naked and they felt no shame. There is, of course, a callback to this later in chapter 3. But everything was perfect because sin had not yet entered the world. They didn't worry. They didn't have to think about, well, where's my next meal going to come from? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get my kids to listen? How hard is bedtime going to be tonight? All those fun things that we worry about today. Maybe you guys don't worry about that quite as much anymore, but let me tell you, it is an everyday occurrence in my house. maybe not all of them, but, you know, Kennedy's really fun sometimes. life was good and it was perfect because God had made it that way, but it wasn't without rules. God had given Adam just a few commands. Genesis 2:15 says Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden to work it, to care for it. There were responsibilities that he had there. Eventually he had to name all the animals. He had to care for everything that was there. He was a gardener from the start, but I bet he didn't have to worry about weeds. Everything probably grew just like it was supposed to. He didn't have to worry about, well, is it going to rain today? Am I going to have enough water for my crops? And is it going to be too dry? Is it going to be too windy? Everything was perfect. It grew just as it should. Everything worked out just fine. And in verse 17, Adam was given one very specific rule that you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. One specific rule that, of course, becomes a very important plot point in chapter 3. A specific prohibition, do not eat from that tree, and a specific punishment. When you eat of it, you will surely die. And I've read this story so many times and just kind of noticed this time, God says when you eat of it. Maybe it's the English translation, but I think God knew what was going to happen. He was warning Adam ahead of time. He knew it was going to happen. He knew how it was going to turn out. But he told him, when you eat it, you're going to die. And Adam may not have had any concept of what death was because everything was perfect. But I'm sure he realized, oh, that's bad. The way that God is speaking to me, this is a bad thing. So if I do this, something bad is going to happen. It's not like he was confused, or he shouldn't have been confused about what would happen if he ate that fruit. But maybe it wasn't enough at the front of his mind. Maybe he didn't focus quite enough on that. So after that rule is given, Adam, he has all the animals and everything, but God says, you know what? There's something missing. You need more. And God makes Adam a helper because he recognizes it's not good for Adam to be alone. And even today, it's not good for us to be alone. That was the hardest part back, you know, 4 years ago during the pandemic when they said, well, everybody just stay home. Don't go and be around other people. And it's like, I'm an introvert, so that wasn't too bad for me. I'm a homebody. Like, okay, I can be happy just in my home, but not feeling like I was free to go and see my friends and stuff at the beginning of all that was, I didn't like it. I didn't like the isolation. I didn't like feeling like we were cut off from the people that we knew and loved and had been spending all this time with. And it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to be isolated. Not that we all have to be married, right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said it's good for you to stay unmarried if you can, like he was. But we should all have some close relationships, right? We should all have people that we are in regular contact with who they encourage us and we encourage them. We support each other. We help each other. That's why we encourage so heavily here at New Hope. Get involved in a small group. Go and be a part of a Sunday school class. Spend time together with each other outside of class. That's why, you know, Bill takes these bus trips with the seniors to the different restaurants and everything that you do. It's good to be together. It is good to have that community. We got to have those people in our life that we can depend on. This life is hard, and we don't want to make it harder by trying to do it all on our own. We need to be together. And Adam needed a helper. He was no exception. So God creates Eve, and she helps Adam fulfill the command of God in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and increase in number and to rule over the created things in the world that were not created in the image of God. But then we get to the problem. Genesis chapter 3 rolls around and the serpent comes in with just asking questions, right? Are you sure you shouldn't eat from that tree? Did God really say, well, let's just read it here, right? He twists God's words just enough so that it sounded similar, but it wasn't really the truth. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. She knows, oh, no, you're not right. But then she gets it just enough wrong here. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. And that's the issue. You must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the man and the woman, they knew God. They would recognize later the sound of God walking in the garden. So they had this relationship with him. They knew God. And I'm sure they were amazed by God who created them and everything else. And it was probably a little tempting to hear, well, you will be like him. Really? I can be like God? I can have that kind of power? I can have that kind of knowledge? He plants these thoughts in their heads and it starts to, well, what if? What if I was like God? That fruit does look good. Maybe I should eat it. What if I just took a taste? What will the consequences really be? And they eat from the one tree they're prohibited from eating from. And I think just like the moment that God spoke and creation came forth from his mouth, the light came and everything else followed. Everything arrived at the sound of his voice in just a moment. And I think in the same way, sin entered the world just like that. Just in one moment, in one snap decision, that was it. That was when Jesus' sacrifice on the cross became necessary. Adam and Eve took the fruit and they ate it. And it changed everything forever. With one bite, one act of disobedience, God could no longer be with man in the same way anymore. His creation was tarnished. It was kind of like this pizza here that we have a picture of. If you put that pizza on a table, you know, it's on the pan, it's sitting on a table, it'd look pretty good, right? If you happen to like pepperoni pizza, right? Imagine your favorite toppings on there. It would look pretty good. But how many of you would eat that particular pizza in that state? Gage, would you eat it? No. Not even the junior high boy in the room would eat that pizza right there, right? Because it's on a nasty floor. It's ruined. The pizza was fine until it got on that floor. God's creation was good and it was perfect until they ate that fruit. One thing happened and it changed everything forever. Romans chapter 5, Paul describes it this way. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Skip down a little bit. It says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, here's the good news, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. We're kind of skipping forward to the good news. In the moment, there is no real good news for Adam and Eve. They have disobeyed. They are about to face their punishment. But one act changed everything. They go from being naked and unashamed to hiding from God in verse 10 because we realized we were naked, so we hid. Was their nakedness the problem? No, I don't think so. I think the problem was they knew they had done wrong. They had sinned. They had disobeyed God. And I think that realization hit them the moment that they tasted that fruit. They knew it tasted good for a second. Then I wonder if they got a little choked up as they swallowed it. Ooh. Because I know I am not the only one who has relished just the momentary pleasure that came from some kind of sinful action or whatever minor benefit I got from my sin. And then soon after that realized, oh, I don't feel so great. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. I know that what I've done is wrong. Because that shame and that guilt and that regret, they always follow sin. If you're actually listening to God. I suppose if you're not making any effort to listen to God, you may not feel that after a certain point, and that's a whole other problem. You may not even realize how wrong your life is that you're living, but the effects didn't stop at the shame and the guilt for Adam and Eve. They were banished from the perfect garden that God had made for them. And God told them, hey, your life's about to get a whole lot harder. To Eve, he promised pain and childbirth. To Adam, he promised it's going to be difficult for you to work the ground and eventually you're going to die. Your life here on earth is going to end. But I think this is actually a glimpse of God's mercy. Because he could have said right then, right there, I gave you one rule and you couldn't follow it. I'm going to start over. Maybe the next people I create will do better than you did. He had every right. He's God. He gave them one rule and they disobeyed. They deserved the punishment. And he punished them, but not as thoroughly as he could have. So he killed an animal, the first blood sacrifice recorded in the Bible, and he made animal coverings for them out of its skin, and he allowed them to live a very long life. He allowed them to fulfill the command to be fruitful and increase in number. But that life wasn't easy because of their sin. Because that's what sin does, right? It has these long-lasting and far-reaching effects that we never see, usually don't see in the moment. Sometimes we know. We're in the midst of it. We know, well, this is probably going to come back to bite me later. If we're aware enough to do that, hopefully we realize, okay, if this is going to come back to bite me later, maybe I just need to stop right here. But I'm sure that they never considered the fact that eating that fruit from that one tree in the garden would end up that later on, one of their sons would kill his brother. They didn't even, as far as I can tell, they didn't even have any children, so it was probably not a thought in their mind. But in chapter 4, the sibling rivalry of all sibling rivalries, Cain and Abel. Abel brings a better sacrifice to God. Cain gets jealous and he eventually kills his brother because of that jealousy and anger. All because of sin. Cain is punished by God to be a wanderer whose work of the ground would no longer produce the crops. And a few generations later, Cain has a descendant named Lamech, who had this to say to his wives in Genesis 4. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. It's not the kind of guy I want to run into. He sounds like a very angry, bitter type of person. All because of sin. Verse 25 records Adam and Eve. They have a new son named Seth through which their family line continues for 1600 and 1700 years until Noah. And in the days of Noah, this is what God has to say about civilization. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. It can all be traced back to that one sin. That one act of disobedience leads to this, where God says, I'm tired of this, let's just start over. We're going to reset everything. But there is one man who is righteous. From perfection in the garden to this. But in the midst of all that trouble, in the midst of all the awfulness, there is the hope of Noah and his family. There is Noah who has remained righteous in the face of everything else that was going on in that world. And isn't that the story of the gospel? In the midst of all our sin and all our pain and all our struggle, there's Jesus. We look at the world around us and it's falling apart left and right. Except when you look at where the hope of Jesus is. In the lives of his people, you can see that, you know what, yeah, life is hard. We're not going to escape that. But there's hope and there's joy and there's peace and there's love that only comes through him. Paul said in Romans again, sin entered the world through one man, but righteousness was available through another. All of these stories have that same strand of hope running through them. Right? Adam and Eve sin, but God provides them with coverings from the animal skins. Cain kills Abel, but even though he was banished to wander the earth and work the ground in futility, God put a mark on him so that no one would kill him like he killed his brother. The world deserves to be completely and totally wiped out, but God sees the righteousness of Noah and he saves humanity. God is merciful over and over and over. And he shows grace to all these people who don't deserve it, just like me. And no offense, but just like you. None of us deserve God's mercy and grace. I need God to provide for me like he did for Adam and Eve. I need God to protect me most of the time from myself like he protected Cain. And I deserve God's protection about as much as Cain did. I deserve to be wiped off the face of this earth because of my sin. But because of Jesus, I don't have to deal fully with the punishment that I deserve. God has saved me from that. And that same mercy and grace, it's available to anyone who would receive it today. Jesus doesn't put stipulations on it. He doesn't say, well, if you do this, 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 and this first, then my grace is available to you. It's freely available right here, right now, to anyone who would receive it. You just have to be willing to come to Jesus with a repentant heart, knowing that you need him as your Lord and your Savior, and then he will change you. He will make you into a new creation as we walk in obedience to him. We don't have to be who we used to be. We have a new life to live in Jesus. The repeated message through all of the stories is one of mercy and grace, and the story continues in the same way today because of Jesus. That's good news. The story of God points to Jesus from the first sign of a problem in creation. What an amazing God we serve. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If there's a decision you need to make today, if you need prayer, whatever the case may be, we invite you to come forward. But let's worship God together.